we can miss out on a season or a time in life and be too late to experience what was intended. Or worse yet, make a mess of a situation through acting in an ill-timed manner, out of season as it were. Good day, Kingdom Corner podcast followers and devotees. The great Matt Gaib with you once again with another episode from the Kingdom Corner. Today, as we start, I just would like to pray about what I'm going to share in the Word today, in our lesson today, that it would just be the right thing for people to hear, speak to their heart in the right way. Father, we just pray right now for those that listen today, tomorrow, and in the future, that you would take these simple words that I share from the book of Ecclesiastes, and that you would open our hearts to what you have for us in this season, in this time, in this place that you've placed us in on earth, Lord. Just speak to the hearts. Just meet the needs of the people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I'm so excited to be with you here once again. And what I'm doing is I'm going to continue on. I had been reading, started back about the middle of March, March 13th or so, to read through my book, Searching for Significance, A Devotional Journey Through Ecclesiastes, which is a devotional book I wrote back in 2019. And I'm just reading through the chapters, and they're short enough that afterward, I begin to share a bit from my heart on some things, and that's what we're going to do. I have quite a few things on my heart today, on my mind, because this is one of the themes. There's about 9 to 10 themes, main themes, that I see in the book of Ecclesiastes as I've studied it over the years, and this is one of my favorites. Of times and seasons, the times and the seasons of the Lord. And we need to know today if we're walking in the correct time, if we're on time with God, if we're walking in the correct season, if we're responding quickly and you know, in the right way, in the right season. I mean, you don't plant crops in the middle of winter, right? So are you in the right season? Are you responding correctly? Let's just read the chapter. And then I have some thoughts to share with you. Chapter 3, from Searching for Significance, A Devotional Journey Through Ecclesiastes. Of Times and Seasons, Ecclesiastes 3, 1-8. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. Here we have possibly some of the most well-known verses in the Bible today, that were made famous in 1965 by the rock and roll group The Byrds. This portion of scripture was crafted into a song by folk singer Pete Seeger in the late 1950s, and in 1965, the rock group The Byrds recorded it, and it went on to become a number one hit on the music charts. Seeger wrote the song titled Turn, 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 verbatim from this passage in the Bible in Ecclesiastes, only adding his own last six words, I swear it's not too late, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What Seeger and the Byrds intended the song to be was a plea for world peace, hence Seeger's ambition that it was not too late. Much could be said about desiring a season of world peace. My feeling is that the world will not attain a season of lasting and eternal peace until Jesus Christ returns the second time and establishes a new heaven and earth. Revelation 21:1-7. But let's explore for a moment the importance, as Seeger states, of not being too late. As the line of this song reminds us, we can miss out on a season or a time in life and be too late to experience what was intended, or worse yet, make a mess of a situation through acting in an ill-timed manner, out of season, as it were. Essentially, the words season and time in this passage in Hebrew mean just that, the idea of a specific or an appointed time. It is interesting to me that in the heavenly realm, time as we know it does not exist. And yet God has placed us in this world where definite blocks of time really matter. Perhaps God desired to show us a paradox in creating time in this world. In our finite lives on this earth, we all measure the passing of our lives by increments of time, measured in minutes, hours, days, months, and years. As we get older, the passage of time seems to speed up with each fleeting year, till we wonder where all our life's years went. Could the very idea of passing periods of times and seasons, as Solomon conveys here in these 8 verses, be a clue for us to see the existence of the eternal realm? There are many defining moments throughout our finite lives, like birth, celebrations, war, love, planting and harvesting crops, etc., that all of humanity experience at one time or another. We see that various events and experiences mark the importance of our lives on earth, and yet someday, for us all, these events of time will end, and our bodies will wither and pass away, or I could say will be transformed by the coming back of the Lord in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as Paul said. I believe God has impregnated within each of us, each person, the realization deep down that there is an eternity. Solomon himself goes on to say in verse 11 that he has placed, as some translations say, eternity in man's heart. To me, this is the very paradox of time in which we exist here in this earthly realm, yet with no existence of time in the heavenly realm. This speaks to us that there is something more and something better for which God created each of us. And if we will allow our hearts to grasp this, we will see that we were created to be eternal beings with a spirit to have an eternal relationship of love and intimacy with the Heavenly Father, who created all things, even time. Therefore, it behooves each of us in this life to be on time. 1 Chronicles 12:32 is an intriguing passage that says, the sons, or the tribe of Issachar, were men who understood the times, with knowledge of what Israel ought to do or should do. This life, which consists of time and the importance of various passing events, is meant to be, ultimately, pointing each man and woman to the existence of eternity, which will never end, and the offer from the Heavenly Father of a life filled with love and intimacy with Him. That's what we were created for, which never will end. To understand the purpose of time is to know that we must pursue a relationship with Him as we pass throughout all the seasons and experiences of life. Notice these verses. Luke 2:11. Today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ Jesus. That is, there was a day, an appointed time, Jesus was born. Yet many of his Jewish countrymen missed it. Luke 4:18-19 and verse 21. Jesus speaking in the temple. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. There was a day Jesus was commissioned to begin his ministry. And again, many of his countrymen refused him and did not accept him and missed out on his season of service. Hebrews 3:17, 3:15, and 4:7 all say this. They repeat it. This is repeated in these verses in Hebrews. Today, if you will hear his voice. Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another day after day while it is still called today. Scripture places a great importance on always hearing the Father and encouraging the brethren today, because we may not have tomorrow. 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the day of salvation. Significance point. Now, today is the day to answer God's call, not tomorrow or next week. You may not have such a conviction tomorrow or next week. You may even have left this world. These scriptures are just a few that speak of the importance of time and seasons. To everything there is a time or season. Solomon penned this for us by the Spirit of God. My question is, are we aware of the times and seasons in which God has placed us? Are we on time? Are you on time today with the plan of God for your life? 1 Chronicles 12:32. Of the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-8. Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly. The labor pains like the labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. He's talking about most people in the world. But you, brethren, you, saint, are not in darkness. That day would not overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. And so I've read chapter 3 of Times and Seasons, based on Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 8. And of course, if you look at that scripture, we look at that scripture, a time to be born is how it starts, a time to die. So we're talking about the whole spectrum of life that a human being lives in on this planet. They're born, and then at a certain point, whenever that is for each individual, they die. And then it talks about all these things in between, planting, plucking up what is planted. You know, that's the farmer. Or to me, planting could be planting things in your life, like when you're a child, you know, and you're planting by learning things in school, maybe from the time you're 5 or 6 till 25 or 30, when you get your education in college or trade school or whatever. Your life work, whatever you choose that to be, you're planting. And then there's a time to harvest. You harvest from that. You make a living from those things that you've learned. A time to weep, a time to laugh. We all go through heartache and pain. You know, a loved one dies. We get divorced. We go through physical pain, and a time to laugh. We celebrate. People in our lives are married, you know, our sons or daughters. We have a baby. That's a time to laugh, a time to celebrate. A time to dance, you know. There's times to just celebrate, is there not? All these things. A time to embrace, you know, to come in and love people closely. And a time to refrain from embracing. A time that we gain. A time that we lose. All these things, right? A time to throw away. A time to tear away. Those things happen in life, right? A time to keep your mouth shut. I'm paraphrasing. And a time to speak. Oh, that takes a lot of wisdom to know how to do that. I'm almost, you know, I'm past I'm close to 70 and I'm still learning how to speak properly. And sometimes I still put my foot in my mouth, okay? A time to love and a time to hate. Yes, there's a time to love, right? God has created us to love, but there's a time to hate. Hate the things of the enemy. Hate the things of the devil that he does, right? You know? To everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Let's emphasize, this is talking about our life here on earth under heaven. And I just want to share a few thoughts that I have with you today before we close out today, because I just have some thoughts for you. You know, we're in this framework of time, and yet over on the other side, we think of in heaven, there's eternity, right? So we're in the earthly realm that is finite, but the heavenly realm, there is no time. And we sometimes think, you know, that they're so far apart, but I want to share with you today that they're really not as far apart as you think. And we're going to get into that in a minute. But right now, before I just expound on that further about how the realm of this finite time with the heavenly realm are closer than you think, I want to share a couple other thoughts with you. I'm reminded so much of what my dad used to say when we're talking about times and seasons. He used to say, 90% of life, Matthew, is showing up. 90% of life is showing up. And of course, he was referring to your career. He was referring to a job. He was referring to schooling, to all those things. And when you think about that, showing up is often related to being on time. You know, if you're going to show up to a job, you better show up on time. If you're going to show up and get an education in college or trade school or whatever, you better show up on time. That's part of it. You know, showing up, you know, you're on time. You know, showing up and on time are related. Let's go on and we'll read a few scriptures here. And now I'm going to relate this other part. Showing up and being on time are related. And that's very important. Moments of time are defined, you know, in our lives. You know, you wouldn't want to show up late for your wedding. You wouldn't want to show up late for the first day of your new employment, right? But people do. Sometimes we miss out, don't we? Because we haven't been on time. You know, there's a lady that I know, I studied her a bit. She's written a number of good books, Laura Vanderkam, and she has what I call a time registry, where she breaks down 168 hours for a week. That's how many hours are in a week, in a seven-day week. And she breaks down in a spreadsheet, and then you can print it off, where you can keep track of the increments of time. You can go as small as 15 minutes. You can go up to half hour. I usually go to a half hour. And that, at times I get that out and I keep track of my time. What am I doing with my time? And, you know, I have to admit, I haven't always been wise with the use of my time, right? So there's so many good topics about time and the seasons of life that we could discuss. Another thought is, like I said, he has placed eternity in their heart. That's what he says, right? He has placed eternity in our hearts. I believe that's in verse 11 of Ecclesiastes 3. I believe that's what it says. He's placed eternity in our hearts. In other words, God has created us so we know deep down inside that we need to have a connection with the one who's created us. We need to seek that out. And that's, you know, he's created us, you know, with eternity in our hearts. And we'll never be satisfied until we tap into that eternal realm. And that's what I'm talking about. And they're not as far apart as you might think. So many people think that they are, you know. But the heavenly realm is not someplace high up in the sky, pie in the sky, up in the sky, high above you in the heavens. I mean, there's the second and third heaven Paul talked about, but the heavenly realm is really the spiritual heavenly realm that he talks about. In Ephesians 1:3, it says, "Blessed, he's blessed us with all spiritual blessing, blessed us, the Christians, with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." It's not some faraway place. And then he goes on to say that, all like about three or four places throughout the book of Ephesians. the book of Ephesians is about the heavenly realm. And I coined a phrase once that there's a mandate for mankind to enter the heavenly realm. God is calling us to that. He talks about the manifold wisdom that's on display to all authorities and powers, whether they be evil or whether they be good, that they're on display in the heavenly realm for everybody to see, the manifold wisdom of God. Just like we saw the other night, like some of us did so well, the northern lights, the aurora borealis. That's the way God would begin to show his manifold wisdom to you. It's available to you. And I'm telling you, God says, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He states that because it's possible for us to enter the heavenly realm. It's not way far, millions of miles away, but it's another dimension. It's a spiritual dimension that we come into as we enter into relationship with God, as we come to know Jesus Christ, his Son that died on the cross for us, as we ask him into our life, as we ask him to be the sacrifice for our sin, then we're transformed, we're made anew, we're born from above. We're born from above, and we are a new creature. And that's when you can begin to enter into that spiritual realm and to begin to understand what that means. Acts 17:28, I'll quote here as a parallel verse. In him we live, that's talking about God. Paul is saying this. In him we live and move and have our being. In him, in God, we live and move and have our being when we know him personally, when he's come into our heart, when our spirit has been renewed and transformed. Our spirit then has connection with God and we live and move and have our being. Luke 20:38, it says, he is a God of the living. Job 12:10, in whose hand is the soul of all living things and the breath of all mankind. Isn't that powerful? In whose hand, that's God's hand, is the soul of all living things and the breath of all mankind. Only if men would realize that they're in the palm of his hand, that he's just waiting for them to come to him and have relationship with him. Colossians 1:17, for he is, that is Christ, is before, that is he's the greatest of all things, and by him all things consist, all right, are put together. 1 Samuel, I was reading this today, 25:29, and Abigail was encouraging David and saying that, you know, it was a kind of a nasty story. She was married to a man, Nabal, very rich man, a descendant of Caleb, but he was a wicked man. And David had come unto him, sent servants to him for support, for sustenance, because he was at a time where before he was going to be king, where Saul was kind of chasing him, and he needed aid, he needed sustenance. And Nabal was just going to refuse him and would even seek to take his life. And Abigail said to David, I sense that you are bound in the bundle of the living. I like that phrase, bound in the bundle of life, bound in the bundle of living. Are you bound in the bundle of the living today? Is the Spirit of God in your life? Are you connected to him and you're bound in the bundle of the living where you live and breathe and move in him? Whatever you're doing, things may not always go right. You know, we're talking about the seasons of life, of living in this world and the things that happen. And today, my main project today was to get this podcast created today and to do a couple other things. But bless my wife, we have a Keurig coffee machine and it just wasn't working. And she left me a note. She likes to take coffee to her work, you know, to have a cup of coffee or two. And do you know, I spent about 3 hours, and I had to go to the store and get this, what they call, I forget the name of it, but it actually cleans out the inside of your Keurig coffee machine. And you need to do that every so often. And I'd already done that once, but she's using it more now. So I had to go get that. I spent a lot of time cleaning out that coffee machine with that fluid that they have you pour in there with heated water, but it still didn't do, it still didn't fix it. And coffee wouldn't come out. Hot water would run through it. So then I had to get on YouTube. Thank God that now we live in a time where there's a lot of things that we can use. You know, we can be distracted with these things on the internet and all the data that's there, but there's things that we can use. And there was a man who had several videos on how to troubleshoot and service your Keurig. And I found out how to clean out kind of the tips of where the Keurig cup is. And then after I did that, it took me about 3.5 hours, that project. But after I did that, the coffee flowed fine. So that's what I was involved in everyday life, in the seasons of life. There's things like that that come up, right? That we sometimes have to take time to do that we'd rather not do. But that's part of living, you know. Part of living for me is to try and help my family. And part of that showing up for my wife was working on that Keurig coffee machine today. And thank goodness the Lord enabled me to get that working again. So we're talking about showing up, being on time, that there's also connection to God. It's not as far away as we think. It's just really a prayer away, and you can enter into the heavenly dimension. He's called you to be in the heavenlies and blessed with spiritual blessings, blessed with a spiritual mandate. You know, and I talked about that in my Ephesians class that I've taught before. A mandate is an authoritarian command. It's an authority to act given to a representative, and we're representatives of God when we serve Him. It's an order or commission, and then there's a mandated territory. And we talked about Ephesians 3:10 that manifold wisdom is displayed in the heavens to all the authorities through the church. It talks about through the church in the heavens. So I'm going on and on, but I wanted to share another thing with you, another thing that came to me as I was studying this. Psalm 90 verse 10 says, basically, I'm paraphrasing. Let me see if I have it written out here. No, I don't have it here, I don't believe. But I do have it paraphrased in my mind, that the lifespan of man is 70. That's 70 years. Or if you're in good shape, 80 years. I'm just paraphrasing. The lifespan of mankind is 70. Or if you're taking good care of yourself, 80 years. I think I looked it up one time recently, and they said the average lifetime of a man, I didn't look up for a woman, is 74 years now. So now I've done this exercise a number of times. I've done it for a Sunday school class. I also made a video on it a number of years ago. I couldn't find the video, but that's what this podcast, you know, we can't show you a video on the podcast. However, what I like about the radio, I used to listen to old-time radio, and sometimes I still do, and also podcasts, is it causes us to imagine and think about things in our mind and picture things. So I want you to picture this example now. So the average lifespan is 70 years, and if you're taking good care of yourself, 80. So let's go with 80 years. Let's say you're going to live 80 years, okay? So I want you to imagine a yardstick that is 40 inches long. I took my 36-inch yardstick, and I tacked on a short piece of wood, 4-inch piece of wood, matched it up, and took it into the junior boys' Sunday school class when I shared this with them. And I took that yardstick and I said, okay, there's 40 inches on here now. So every 10 inches, not 20 inches, every 10 inches is 20 years of your life. So if you're 20 years old, that's 10 inches. If you're 40 years old, that's 20 inches. If you're 60 years old, that's 30 inches. And if you're at near or at the end of your life, that's 40 inches. because every increment of 10 inches is 20 years. So I marked that off. I sectioned that off. And you can imagine that in your mind. If you're 20 years old, then you're at the 10-inch mark. If you're 40 years old, you're right in the middle of the yardstick. You're at the 20-inch mark. And you can mark these things off in your life. And you can even take Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 8, and you can begin to make marks on that yardstick if you had a yardstick. I had one that I made here and I hung on my wall that's made out of construction paper. It's 40 inches long. So at 0 inches, I put born. And at 40 inches, I put passed away, okay? At 6 inches to 30 inches, I put plant. I was planting, like the verse says, because I'm putting things into my life when you're a young person, getting educated, you know? Actually up to about 15 inches, okay? Because 10 inches is 20 years. 15 inches is 25, maybe up to 30, maybe up to that amount. And then harvesting and plucking up would be what you gain from your life as you make a living, as you buy a house, as you have children, right? Maybe the 15 to 20 inch mark, up to age 40 or so, or even 50. You can mark that off on that yardstick, right? And as you begin to do that, if you could get a yardstick and do something like that, it'll really make an impression on you. And it made an impression on me because I looked at it again. Yesterday and today even. And do you know where I'm at? I'm 68 years old. So that means I have, 68. If I'm at 70, I would have 5 inches left because 5 inches would be 10 years. So if I'm at 68, I have another 2 inches. So I have about 7 inches on the 40-inch ruler if I live to 80. I'm not saying how long I'm going to live. I feel pretty good. I've lost a lot of weight. I'm in the best shape of my life in the last 2 years. But I'm, as one brother of mine said, that's around the same age as me, we're in the fourth quarter of our lives. So take and do that if you can. Get a 36-inch yardstick. Add a piece of paper or a piece of wood on there of 4 inches. Section it off in 20-year sections, 2, 4, 6, 8, right? Every 10 inches is 20 years. You know, if you're a young person like my granddaughter, she's not even at 10 inches yet because she's 16, right? My other granddaughter's 19. She's almost at the 20, at the 10-inch mark, right? And my daughter, she's 35, so she's a little further up there, right? But she's not even halfway yet because halfway would be right in the middle of the yardstick. So do that. It'll really make an impression on you. And that's what we've talked about today. So let's see if we can come up with some questions for you today. All right. So can you explain, number one, explain for us the difference between the heavenly realm and the earthly realm and why they're not so far apart in reality? The difference between the heavenly realm and the earthly realm, and why they're not really so far apart as we might imagine. Now, I want you to think about that yardstick, number two. Where are you at on the yardstick of life? Where are you at? And what have you been doing with your life? Where are you at on the yardstick of life? And what have you been doing with your life? Are you on time in your life for what God's plan is for your life? Or are you behind? I want you to write about that. And you can go to Understanding Times and Seasons on my Facebook group, and you can write some answers to those two questions. And I will put them in the show notes. We must understand then the times and the seasons we live in. Isn't that such a good verse? The tribe of Issachar understood that. They were wise about that. Do you understand the time and the season you are living in right now? That's another question. Do you understand the time and the season you're living in right now? Number three. Galatians 4:4. Here's another scripture I'm just coming into that I'm just seeing. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son. So when the fullness of time came, Jesus came. And because he came, because he sacrificed his life for your sin and mine, because he was that advocate, we can have a relationship with God, right? So in the fullness of time, we're in that time right now. Ephesians 1:10, as a plan for the fullness of time, God is uniting all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. There's a plan for the fullness of time, Ephesians 1:10. That's the time I think we're living in, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Are you being united today in the plan of God for your life? Are you on time? Are you showing up? Those are questions you could answer. Are you on time? Are you showing up? I gave you like two or three questions, and we'll put them in the show notes. But in closing today, I thought I'd share an old, old song with you that really touches on all this before I leave here today. So, this is called Wherever You Can. And I just dedicate it to all those who listen today, tomorrow, or in the future, wherever you can. Dear Lord, I am longing to see souls brought in, longing to see lives transformed and delivered from sin, longing that others know the salvation plan. Take me and place me and use me, O Lord, wherever you can. Doesn't have to be far away. I can work here. Doesn't need to be out in the open as long as you are there. Now that I'm willing, Lord, here I am. Take me and place me and use me, O Lord, wherever you can. There's a work to be done in the Master's great field. Souls to be won, hearts that must learn just how to yield. Lord, I just want each little one to stand. So take me and place me and use me, O Lord, wherever you can. It doesn't have to be far away. Lord, here I am. Doesn't need to be out in the open as long as you are there. For now that I'm willing, Lord, here I am.
Take me and place me and use me, O Lord, wherever you can. Listen now. This is important. Just a few moments left in God's unchanging clock. A few fleeting seconds of time before the last night watch. My friends, are you on time? Just where do you stand? Say yes to him now and be used of God wherever you can. Just a few moments left in God's unchanging clock. A few fleeting seconds of time before the last night watch. My friends, are you on time? Are you on time? Have you shown up? Just where do you stand? Say yes to him now and be used of God wherever you can. Doesn't have to be far away, but it can. Lord, I can work here or in Africa too. Doesn't need to be out in the open as long as Jesus, you're there. Now that I'm willing, are you willing? Sing. Lord, here I am. Lord, here I am. Take me and place me and use me, O Lord, wherever you can. Let's sing it again. Now that I'm willing, now that I'm willing, Lord, here I am, Lord, here we are. Take me and place me and use me, O Lord, wherever you can. Oh, take me and place me and use me, O Lord, wherever you can. Take me and place me and use me, O Lord, wherever you can. God bless you, folks. Thank you for coming to the Kingdom Corner. Be on time, show up, let God use you wherever he can. Amen. Amen.